declare his glory. I've chosen Psalm 96. It's printed in your bulletin. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I would like to ask you to read with me 96 verses 1 to 3. Let's read together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. When I prepare the sermon, two words came to my mind. Proclaim and declare. This is a command from Psalm 96, asks us to proclaim and to declare. Proclaim his salvation and declare his glory. Now, how are we going to proclaim and declare? We enjoy singing. Music is great. We can sing glory to God and all praises to God. But I want to do something beyond singing. Now, singing is important. I'm not putting it down. Singing is important. It's part of our faith. It's our signature of Christianity. It's important. But we want to do more. We want to do something beyond singing. How are we going to proclaim and declare? Use our lives. Our lives are instruments, vessels in God's hand, so that he can use us to affect other people, to impact other people's life. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of people. Look at these three cards. I don't know which one parked in the store first. But one car parked in an angle, the other two were affected. Now, little things in our life can affect a lot of people, either good things or bad things. Even the parking, little minor things, you can affect other people. Chain reaction. So I want you to think of, how can I use my life, even though in a very minor manner, how can I affect other people? You heard of Old Testament prophet Elisha? In the scripture it says, in only two verses, Elisha died and was buried. Now Moabites raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elijah's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. When I read these two verses, as out of the Israelite history, two verses stood out from there. And I told myself, hey, if I can influence other people, impact other people's life during my life, that's good. How can I impact other people after I'm gone? Well, let's not consider doing that in the future. See, some people burying a relatives, and then when they saw danger, they threw the body into a grave. Now, the grave is different from our graves because we have to dig the body up. But in the past, if you rolled away the barrier, that's the grave. And people can throw another body into the grave. And when the body touches Elijah's bones, it came back to life. Hey, let's this prophet performed a lot of miracles. And this one, he couldn't see it himself, but it happened. So I want you to consider, how can we affect other people during our lifetime? In a very minor things, you don't have to be a Billy Graham or someone big doing some big project and get into a huge movement. But little things can affect other people. How can we declare, proclaim God beyond singing and in our daily lives? I point out three important things. When we think of 3 W, we think of something else. But here we have 3 W's, wisdom, walk, and work, all from Colossians chapter 1. In the Bible, a few words are interchangeable. Okay, the first word is wisdom. Wisdom, sometimes you will find in the scripture using knowledge, understanding, skills. Well, you can see it from Exodus 31. And I have, God says, I have filled him, a special craftsman, doing furniture for the tabernacles. I fill him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. So all these words, actually, they are interchangeable. In different parts of the Bible, as the authors may use different words, but they mean something from God, the knowledge from God. Knowledge is important. Why we encourage people to go to Sunday school? Why some of you attend BSF? You want to study the Word of God. Yes, we have to provide the Word of God from the pulpit. But sometimes we find it difficult to preach a sermon that can feed everyone. We can serve the new believers, then we ignore the deeper or more advanced Christians. If we preach too deep, and then we ignore the new believers. So we have to try to strike a balance. And if you feel that the pulpit is not providing enough, then it's your responsibility to dig into the Word yourself, or find some opportunity, maybe joining BSF or a small group, a Bible study group, something that can enrich you in biblical knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So please consider how to enrich yourself, your knowledge. This is a pope that only served 33 days and he passed away. So I remember him. He said, if someone had told me I would be pope one day, I would have studied harder. Okay. Same here. If someone told me that I would be a pastor one day, I would have studied harder. He is saying that knowledge is important. Knowledge is helping you to grow. But knowledge itself cannot help you to grow. It's only a foundation laid in front of you so that you can build yourself, your spiritual life on top, on the right track. So it's important, but it itself cannot help you to grow. But you can use it, apply it, so that you can grow. If you have knowledge, that's good. Colossians 1:28. He's the one, Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So we need A good foundation, knowledge, spiritual knowledge, Bible knowledge, without action, without doing something, applying what we learn, is useless. I use this as an illustration. This is a movie set. They bring you back to 70 years ago. And they have buildings that are already taken down. But how can they shoot movie? So they make up these scenes, but you can only see the front. They have hotels, but don't go in because they have no rooms, no restaurant. They have schools, but no classrooms. They only have the front. In front of the camera looks nice, but beyond this, nothing. There is nothing. So knowledge is good, but without applying knowledge into your life, it's nothing. It's like all these. Do you know what's behind all these? Nothing. You can live there. You have a very nice home, but you cannot live there because there is no reality behind. Knowledge can, well, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, knowledge boosts us up. You have knowledge, and then you feel proud. But if you cannot apply knowledge in your daily life, that's nothing. And because of that, in China, in many parts of the world, they have underground churches. They suffer. Because first, they don't have enough pastors to pastor all these small pockets of Christians. And if they do, their pastors are not well-educated. They are not grounded in theology, sound theology. So they created a lot of cults, religions. So in China, right now, it's a very big problem because lots of churches or pockets of Christians, they do not have someone to shepherd them. Shepherd them and teach them with the right sound theology. So knowledge is important. We have to apply it. So the second point is walk. Knowledge and walk, they go hand in hand. You have knowledge, and then you walk. Now, walk can be explained as one aspect is walking with God. You continue to walk with God so that the Holy Spirit will direct you. You think that, hey, I'm believing in this. Is it true? Is it right? The Holy Spirit will teach you, affirm your conviction. You walk with God. You have a relationship with God. And then your knowledge will be confirmed. You'll be useful. And then another aspect is walk is, in the Bible, it actually means how to live, how to lead your life. Walk is walking with God and also how to lead and conduct your lives. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, only the upper two lines, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. To walk. Your life should be worthy to the Lord. Now, Paul, in his epistles, in many areas, he mentioned that same idea. As a prisoner for the Lord, Paul, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. That means you have to live a life that is matching to your identity, You are a son of God. You are a new believer. You are a new creature in Christ. You should conduct your life accordingly. You do not do things that will embarrass our God. Here's a little girl, Alexandra Victoria Graf. When she was young, she was studying, that's 200 years ago. She studied under a tutor, and she was studying royal family history. She was studying it, and suddenly she discovered that she was next in line to the throne. If the king or the queen died or retired, she will be the next person to step up. That's Queen Victoria. At the age of 18, her uncle died, and then she had to be the Queen of England. She was the leader or the ruler of England. I'm sure during her childhood time until it's her teens age, she was trained to how to speak, how to give speeches, how to address the parliament, how to walk, how to eat, how to meet people, greet citizens outside in the streets. She was given all these training so that she could conduct a life that is worthy to her identity as a Queen of England. So it's more important that we use our knowledge, we have a good foundation, but we have to apply it. And then we use it, apply in our lives, and then we live a life worthy to our call, to the gospel, to our new identity as son of God, children of God. There were a few pastors talking about their sermons and what Bible versions they use. Okay, one pastor was sharing that I love to use this version because this and that reason. And then the second one talked about similar things, and then he preferred another version. And then after a few pastors have spoken, they came to the last one, and then they all turned to him and say, "What about your preference?" He said, "I prefer my father's version." "What's your father's version?" "There's no father's version. So what version did your father use?" And then he said, "His Bible is a leather-bound Bible." Okay, let's talk about version, and then he explained. Leather-bound Bible means her shoes. How he conduct his life. I may not understand the teaching of the Bible, but when I look at my father, how he conduct his life, how he walk, I understand the Bible because he is practicing the Bible. So his version is father's version. Leather-bound Bible means his father's life. Now I'm sure you can write your Bible too. The proper name we call the four gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. But the actual name is the Gospel according to St. Matthew, right? And according to Luke and John, right? Can you write a Bible so that people can see your life, how you conduct your life, how you lead your life? They understand what is teaching from the Bible. (Clears throat) There might be a version called the Gospel According to Chris, According to Jabin, Rachel, Ja. Substitute your name in a book, because you can write that book, Gospel According to Your Name. When people can see you, they know what you've been reading, what you've been practicing from. So I pray that all of us have good foundation of knowledge, applied it, we walk, we have a good relationship with God, and also practice what we believe. So number three is work, the result of W1 and W2. If we have one and two, then three will be a natural result, natural outflow of one and two combined. Let's look at the same Bible verse, the second half, bearing fruit in every good work, and also growing in the knowledge of God. When we have good results, we come back to the knowledge, we have increased our knowledge. Our knowledge is no more head knowledge. Our knowledge is experiential knowledge. We can tell people that Bible teaches us this, and I have experienced this aligned with the Bible. Work is our ministry, is our life. We don't have to work hard. We don't have to make extra effort to produce something, called work. This should be a natural flow from our one and two. And if we have God's love, we walk with God. We have more love for God, and also have God's love in our life, then we have love as our motive to serve. It's not going to be a difficult task or something tough. Love is our motive. I tell you a story. A very young girl, 15-year-old, she was sold by her family because her family was very poor. She was sold to a man 40 years older than she was. She was sold to be this man's wife. So she was very unhappy. Every day she wakes up 5 o'clock, prepare food to feed the whole family and some farm workers. And then when they go out to the field to work, she has to work at home, washing things and cleaning things, and then cook again, bring snack to the field to feed the workers and her husband, and then come back, do some more chores, and at night, cook supper, and then that's one day. Another day, 5 o'clock, she wakes up doing the same thing every day, 365 days a year, without exception. She was very bitter, painful, and very unhappy. And then 10 years later, she was 25 years old. Her husband died. And then she remarried to someone she loves. She was very happy. And then one day she was washing clothes by the riverside, and then she was singing, very happy. And then it dawned on her, hey, I'm actually doing the same thing, exactly the same thing as before in my first marriage. I wake up at 5. I feed my family and the farm workers, and then send them out to a field, and then do cleaning and washing, and then cook again, deliver food to the field, come back, cook again. I do exactly the same thing as I did in my first marriage. Why I am so happy? It's because of love. If you don't have love for God, love for people, you feel that these tasks are very heavy and unbearable. So I want you to know that the more you love the Lord, the more you can contribute. The more that you get into an intimate relationship with God, you tend to make sacrifices. So we walk. We have good knowledge, and then we walk, and then this is the outflow. Our ministry should be the outflow of our 1 and 2. Power of love. We can love people that we have never considered that we could love them. I was given a book by my former senior pastor, and I read it. It inspired me a lot. There was a pastor in the U.S. He was doing a lot of community work, a lot of factories and manufacturers and merchants. They donate food or merchandise and everything that they have surplus. They can sell them. So they truckload by truckload, they ship to the church and ask the church, hey, give away to bless the community. So this pastor is doing this job, transferring, channeling all the blessing that the business world cannot use to bless the community. And then one time, he heard of, there is a Muslim charity in the city. They are trying to set up a kitchen so that they can prepare food, so that they can serve the homeless, and they do not have money. So the pastor said, even though they are Muslim, because the love of God is unconditional, I should love them. So he contacted the leader of that charity and say, do you need these things? He was trying to donate all these equipment and appliances so that they can start a soup kitchen to serve the homeless. The leader on the other side was very happy. He could not imagine a Christian pastor would come and talk to him and donate all these expensive things they couldn't afford. They receive all these, and then they start their charity ministry. And the leader invited the pastor. Hey, pastor, I know it's odd, but could you come this coming Friday to speak to our group for 5 minutes? Whatever you want to say, 5 minutes. The pastor said, sure, I want to come. Where in the world can you find such opportunity that a Christian pastor to go into a Christian, a Muslim group and share 5 minutes? He didn't say, he did not share the gospel, but at least they connected the two groups. They built a bridge. They have relationship. This is good. Sometimes we give away things and we do things. We have a purpose. We want to earn. We want to earn opportunity to share the gospel. That's not wrong, but sometimes we have to look at the other side. They may want you to come and befriend to them. not necessarily talk about their faith, your faith, and to make connection. So with W1, W2, we have outflow of ministry. See, this lady helped the church every Friday to prepare bulletins. This lady helped to prepare Holy Communion. They committed to serve the church because they have one and two. So we want to remind ourselves, put our emphasis on one and two, so that we have three, so that we can proclaim His salvation and declare His glory. Some of you may have served in the Alpha Team, Task Force. You wait on tables, serve food and drink. And you serve as table leaders. This is love. And behind love, you're willing to commit 12 weeks in a row to serve in this ministry. And there are other things that you can do to express your love. Okay, today, three W's. I hope you can remember. Last of all, a very short story. Two businessmen, they were working in New York, and they took a taxi. Taxi fare was $10. And then one of the gentlemen said, here, driver, here's the $20, keep the change. And then his friend said, why give $10 tip? $2 is more than enough. And then this person, generous person, said, you don't understand. I give $10 tip to this driver. He will be very happy. And because he is happy, he will affect the next 20, 30 passengers that he would serve. That $8 extra dollars will continue to take effects, will be a blessing to more people. And can you consider that this 20 to 30 passengers being cheered by this driver, they will in turn bless other people and make other people happy? $8, yeah, is a big tip, but $8 is worthwhile. Little things, brothers and sisters, we can affect other people. Let's try today. Let's try use our life, even minor things, affect other people so that their lives will not be the same.